What kinds of conflicts are you facing on a monthly basis? How strong are your relationships within the workplace or at home? How much influence do you carry when you speak? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on your part of the world. Welcome to Break the Box with Dr. Ted, where critical thinking breaks conventional norms. The answers to these questions reside in boxes that restrict our perceptions, thought processes, and decisions. This podcast is designed to shed light on many common beliefs and thought processes that we use every day, but have not critically explored if they are useful to our life. The ideas shared are meant to be a conversation starter. For those who are ambitious about leading change, the ideas will always have practical actions you can take to better your life and your work. So on today's show, we're going to talk about the golden rule of respect versus love and versus diversity, equity, and inclusion, better known as DEI. Everybody's talking about DEI these days. Every company has an office for it. Companies are running training around it. It's a very popular concept. But when you boil down to it, what is behind DEI? One of the basic fundamentals is the rule of respect. Most people out there still use and believe the golden rule of respect, which I think is a huge mental trap. Let's look at this from a historical perspective. The golden rule has a long history in human writings. As early as 450 BC, the Jewish Bible stated the golden rule as love your neighbors as yourself. In 500 BC, Confucius stated in his teachings that don't do unto others what you don't want them to do unto you. Over on the Greek side, Sophist Socrates in Greece taught the golden rule as promoting self-interest. In his words, don't do unto others what angers you when you experience it from others. In 300 BC, one of my favorite Greek philosophers, Sextus Empiricus, the father of skepticism, said that as you wish your neighbors to treat you, so treat them. Throughout human history, this has been well documented. But when we look back, does it still apply in our current time? In those days, everybody was on horses. The most you travel with between a few cities, or maybe a country if you're really, really lucky. The population was relatively homogenous from a cultural perspective. Where are we now? We're in the middle of globalization where there's countless amount of cultures and people and way of thinking and way of living amongst every single one of us in every single company. And even in families, when we look at the family culture and history, there's an incredible richness of culture from multiple languages, multiple influences that influence our families. Does it make sense to use a golden rule that was developed back in those days where the cultures was relatively homogenous? Not really. The platinum rule is another option. I've seen a few rare people talk about the platinum rule as do unto others as they would have done unto them. The beauty of that rule is that you have to focus on the other's needs, what others may want, what their preferences are. So it gets you to think about the other side. One fundamental challenge is that it traps you into a world of duality. In the world of duality, there's only right and wrong. Your perspective or someone else's perspective. But if you apply either the golden rule or the platinum rule, what about the other side? If you do the platinum rule, you can't forget about yourself. You can't forget about your needs, your goals, your culture. Look at this from a systemic perspective. The golden rule needs a lot of multiplicity. In the world of multiplicity, there are many, many perspectives that all have value. And your job is simply to synthesize all of it, put it together so that it's valuable, so that you can make some wise decisions. That's the angle that we're going to talk about in terms of respect and how to apply respect in a peaceful, meaningful way so that you can make some wise choices. So as you're considering the needs of various people, your own needs and others' needs, those needs will always have at least four different dimensions to consider. First, look at the logical perspective. This is the one that most people tend to think about. Does it make sense? Is there a reason behind it? Second, it's the emotional needs. Every human being has an emotional need to be connected to another person, to feel like you belong somewhere. As you're considering how to respect another person, think about the emotional needs of yourself in that relationship, as well as others. Third, there's a time perspective. Whatever action you take, somewhere down the line, something else may be a result of this. Consider actions and results from a time perspective. This can happen within a matter of minutes, or this can happen within a matter of weeks. But project out a little bit. Whatever action you take, how is the time dimension going to influence different decisions you make in terms of respect? Number four, the most complex one is the systemic impact. In our world of social media, everybody's watching you. There is almost no situation that nobody's watching, especially if you're out in public or you're working in a company and somewhere doing something. Every Zoom meeting is being recorded to some extent. Anybody can take a picture of you. If somebody sees something interesting, they're going to video you. Think about the systemic outcomes of any action you take. You're being watched. You can be seen as a great leader, or you can be seen as someone that has some challenges. Consider the systemic impact of your actions. Does it make your children proud? That's one consideration you can have. Let's first look at it from a personal perspective. Love. Everybody wants love. Everybody needs love. Many people give love. When you look at our society, we have over 50% divorce rate. Why is that? My fundamental question to you, have you asked the other person, how would you like to be loved? I vividly remember one relationship. She told me, I just wanted to love you while we were breaking up. Why is it so hard if she just wanted to love me and I wanted to love her? Why couldn't we get along? This is because how she defines love is very different than how I define love. All of us have different modalities and how we want to be loved in different ways. In her environment where she grew up, love was very different from where I grew up. When you look at love, you have to look at how the others like to be loved. If you're in a relationship, consider these factors. Ask your significant other how they would like to be loved in physical terms. Ask that person how they would like to be loved from a financial perspective. The easy one is obviously the activity perspective. Most people get married because of shared activity and common interest. But as you grow, those interests change. How are you growing together? Have that conversation where you explore how you're learning to grow together. That shows tremendous amount of respect. Finally, when we look at the three dimensions of development, talk to that other person how they would like to be loved from an intellectual, emotional, and spiritual perspective. As you reflect on the question, how would you like to be loved? Explore the emotional part in some great depth. People want emotional support in different ways. Have that conversation. That will get you to have a much better understanding while showing respect for how the other person wants to feel love. Okay, let's shift gears. Let's move over to the business perspective. This is a fascinating topic that I've had many, many conversations with executives all over the world. Organizational hierarchies exist in every single company. When we talk about the organizational hierarchies, every executive tends to make decisions at the top and push decisions downward. Regardless of which culture you come from, some are more rigid than others, but this is always the fact. I just had a conversation with one executive who issued a major decision throughout his entire organization. Within the hour, he was inundated with phone calls and emails. While this decision made perfect logical sense, he did not involve his employees. The result was a lot of resistance and stress that he had to deal with. This could have been avoided. After he released some of that stress with me, I asked him one single question. Within your decision process, how did you show respect? When we look at how companies are designed, most companies were designed from management theories, which was created during the 1900s from the military. That's why we have the term officers at the top levels, because it was a copying of the military structure during the Industrial Revolution. We still have that today. Everything happens on a hierarchical basis. But in most companies, there has to be a knowledge structure that shows respect. When we look at every single company out there, most of them have a beautifully stated value statement. Respect is usually in there, especially with the diversity, equity, and inclusion movement. respect is a huge challenge for most companies. While many companies are doing these workshops and programs on diversity, equity, and inclusion, are they changing their hierarchical structures? Are they changing the way they make decisions? Are processes being aligned to the training? I don't see that too often in most companies. So within the organizational structure, most decisions are made based on the fundamental of the golden rule respect, because it's always about me and what I want and my preferences. What if you eliminated that thinking within the company, where multiple perspectives starts being considered within a knowledge structure? You don't have to go challenge the functional structure from that part. You can create a completely different structure about knowledge, about creating ideas, making wise decisions with holistic input from all stakeholders. For example, in a recent engagement with a global organization, the company wanted more innovation from their employees, yet they had no metrics. I asked them, how many innovations do you currently have? They didn't know. So we created a knowledge structure that involved every single person in the company to come and have innovation meetings, to create new ideas and take those new ideas and put it into a system where we can test it. Within a month, we took their lack of metrics to 0.8 ideas per employee. And after 3 months of working with them, we took them to 1.25 ideas per employee, which meant every single person had input into the company and how it's innovating together. That had a tremendous impact on showing respect, showing people that I care about your ideas. I care about what you're thinking about. Imagine what that does to a company. As we critically explore the golden rule of respect, we can see the many, many fallacies that it traps you into, from a management structure perspective to understanding personal relationships. So imagine a place where respect is defined as something that takes ideas from a holistic perspective, looking at needs of yourself, looking at needs of others, and then synthesizing that, putting that together so that everybody has value and you're putting ideas together and building on top of each other. To start this journey, have a conversation with a significant other in your family or one of your team members. How do they want to be treated? How do they want to be loved? How would we include them in decisions that are being made? If you're a manager or a leader, go create some processes that gather information about your employees, about what ideas they have. Help them develop that skill. Show them that they're important by having conversations, not in a town hall meeting, because a lot of companies do these town hall meetings and it's just pushing information at people. Anytime when you push information, or if you're doing the majority of the talking, you're not showing respect. Because when you think about it, nobody likes to be talked at. Start asking questions. If you want to lead, talk less. Start asking questions to show respect for others. One final thought I'll leave you with: build a wall of needs. If you're an organizational leader or a team leader, you can easily do this. Have those conversations. Take all the different ideas that people share, put it on a post-it note, and then stick it all over the wall. You can build a wall of needs to get your brain into a much higher order thought process to engage in the visual conceptualization of what are the needs of those around you. What are the needs of your teams? What are the needs of each individual? What are the needs of your family members? By doing that, you're further solidifying what you're learning and how you're mastering that skill. Building synthesis from multiple perspectives is not easy. It takes time. Have the patience and the dedication to build a wall of needs so that all of this can come together in a beautifully orchestrated way that everybody within your circle sees that you respect them. And in turn, they will respect you back and you will achieve incredible outcomes. As you move forward this week, explore some of these ideas, have the conversations, build a wall of needs as a visual exercise. We're here to support you. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at drtedsun@gmail.com. That's drtedsun@gmail.com. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you like it, please do share it. Spread the word. Our world needs many more people who understand respect from a holistic perspective.